Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welch. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. And I'm joined by my friendo, KC Bubba. KC, the Super Bowl was pretty damn good. Obviously, the Welsh, not very happy. And his team led for 3.5 quarters, pretty much. But what are your first impressions?
My first impressions? Shakira or J-Lo, that's probably my first impression. But did you want to talk Super Bowl or the halftime show? I lost track.
Look, man, I'm good to wherever you want to steer us. good.
We'll stick to football for now. But the halftime show, outstanding. When it comes to the actual game, it was playing out one of – like we talked the week before that there were so many ways we could see the game playing out because really, really good defense, great offense in Kansas City. But then Kansas City's defense isn't that bad, and the Niners' offense can be good, and they can run the snot out of a football. And it was playing out the fact that the Niners' defense was just in Patrick Mahomes' back pocket. They were playing great. They looked to be in control. And then they stopped running the football for some reason in the second half. And then Patty Mahomes did his thing. He was slipping and sliding out of near sacks. And then that 3rd-and-15 completion – it was a great game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I know it sucked. I had a lot of Niner fans over here, too. Not like you had the Welsh. I had a bunch of guys here. It stinks for them. But at the same time, I thought it was a really good football game. It was, the Chiefs, they deserved it. They played a heck of a fourth quarter. And the Niners, it's going to be one of those. I still have guys in my offices talking about it every day, how they let that one get away. And they don't know if they'll ever be able to get over that.
Oh, you don't get over it. I mean,
they should have. They should have won that game.
Yeah, they should have won. They were up 10 points with, 6.5 minutes, 5.5 minutes left in the game.
It was the first, it was the number one or number two best predicted to win, whatever stat PFF and those do, like chances to win.
Yeah.
And both of them have been games that Shanahan called plays for.
Yeah, man, it's so brutal. I mean, okay, so there's just so much to break down here. First of all, let's talk about the prop bets. So we did 20 of them. I don't know if you remember. Let me get a guess on how many you think you got right.
I think I was probably about 50-50.
You got 8 out of 20.
Almost.
You were second behind me. Yep.
Eight out of 20 was still good for second.
It's still good for second. Oh, yeah. I got 50%. So 10. I got 10. Welsh had 6 and Lob had 7. So
you're fine. Average at something, Bogman.
Yes. I am a Hall of Fame sitter. So there I can sit on a chair like nobody's business. I'll tell you that much. Look, the Demi Lovato thing, apparently it was adjusted the time because we had 2 minutes and then
I saw 158.
Yeah. So she went to, was that what the final number was? She's saying
number 158. Okay.
And then, our guy Dusty, said that's the over. And we were like, what? We had 2 minutes. Apparently, like on the sites, the official time was 1:54. She wound up going over as far as that goes, but not over for us. And we all had the over. So none of us got that.
I knew I was screwed out the gate because she was running through the start of that. Like she started stretching it out at the end like a diva would. But my goodness, I'm sitting there like the golf just ended, the playoff holes. I turn it over as national anthem. And I knew I was already losing a prop bet like within the first 30 seconds.
Well, Welsh came over and he said, hey, do we want to live stream the beginning of the Super Bowl? And I was like, ugh, really? And he's like, yeah, why not? We're both together. Let's do it for our guys on Patreon. I'm like, all right, fine. And then I was having a, a, a problem with my computer. Every time you try to do something off the script, you know, something with my computer isn't working. And so I was super frustrated with getting that set up. And then we were opening up. Our buddy from Canada sent us a bunch of like candies and stuff that you can't get in the U.S. So we were opening it and like taste testing all the stuff. And I think I was throwing a bunch of stuff away and I was in the kitchen when during the national anthem. So I didn't really see it. But then I saw the coin flip was tails. So I was the only one that had tails. Nailed that.
See, I should have picked tails because remember I said heads never fails when I was recording last week. I should have just stuck to tails. I in my head, I was just going tails the whole time.
Tails never fails, and it didn't for me. Then there were no scores in the first 6.5 minutes. You were the only one that got that right. Let's see. Was there any I think that was the only one that you were solo that you got right on.
Sweet.
You, me, and Lob had field goals, first score. That was right. We all had the under, and Welsh had the over on the 26.5 in the first. Then will the score ever be tied? We had yes. Lob had no. We were right on that. Will there be a touchdown in every quarter? There was. Lob was the only one to get that one right. Everyone but Welsh had Kelsey versus Kittle. Over under Patrick Mahomes rush yards. You and I picked the under.
Did you see how that happened? Did you watch the end of the game to see how he got under?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because he took the knee. Yeah, or was it he ran like around or whatever?
He took like multiple steps back. It wasn't just the normal knees. And I know there's a lot of guys like Sammy Reed and company that had the over bet, I believe.
Ooh.
And it was interesting.
That's got to be brutal, man. Like, did you see Debo? I think it was in the first quarter. They ran tons of reverses with him. He had like 60 rushing yards or whatever. But on one of his, it was him or Manny. I can't remember who it was. But one of the Niners wide receivers took a reverse and looked like he was going to throw the ball.
It was Debo.
Yeah, it was Debo.
It sounds like we almost got over 2.5 guys right
yes,
out the gate.
Yes, yes. And I'm like, oh, no, don't throw that. And then he ran. I was like, okay, we're good there. So I mean, they were fun prop bets. I mean, there was my guy Brend, unfortunately, it was after we recorded, but he sent me like 8 pages of them. And I was like, I don't know which ones next of these.
Next year, I'm going to get us a good list of some goofy ones.
Yeah, the goofy ones are great. So what was your favorite? We'll talk about the game a little bit more here in a second, but let's do the entertainment stuff. Let's get that out of the way because that's what people want to hear. That's what we're really here for. The commercials. What was your favorite commercial of the Super Bowl?
It's tough. Like overall, I thought they were much better than usual. Maybe it's because I was sitting in a smaller place. I actually could watch them and enjoy them. But I enjoyed the Groundhog Day revisited by Bill Murray. That was pretty cool. I really enjoyed just the snarky narcissism aspect of the Snickers commercial, throwing everything we hate into the big black hole and then putting the Snickers on it. That was pretty funny to me. I think the good one, the MC Hammer, can't touch this. Like, I can't help you with anything because I'm eating Cheetos because I'm a big fatty. So I thought that was pretty good. There were a lot of good ones. And then Charlie Day kind of sneaking his way through like 4 different commercials was awesome.
Yeah, Charlie Day was pretty funny. I thought that the Jeep with the Groundhog's Day was tremendous. I got some Twitter run out of Baby Nut. So
yeah, okay, well let's talk about that for a second. Okay. let's really go about this. First off, because you watched The Mandalorian, correct?
Of course.
Okay, good. So this is completely stealing Yoda's thunder, and I'm not cool with this. Like, okay. They never would have done this, and they like 3 or 4 days before that, they go and kill Mr. Peanut, which made no sense. Obviously, it was for the commercial, but
they didn't run those ads. So
yeah, that was really
they didn't run those ads because it was Mr. Peanut dying in a plane crash, and it was right after Kobe. So they didn't run those ads.
Okay, that's good. Good. Okay.
They didn't run those ads specifically because of the Kobe accident, and so no one knew what the funeral was for and how Mr. Peanut had died. Like I didn't I didn't understand any of it. I was like, what is happening? Because if you're going to have Wesley Snipes in a commercial, how could it not be one of the million TurboTax ones, right? That's what exactly. I said.
Like, yeah, that would have been perfect.
Yeah. So then I thought, like, okay, well, the Kool-Aid Man cries.
Do you think you picked the Kool-Aid Man because Andy Reid was in the Super Bowl?
I mean, maybe. But also, like, he's just recognizable and all that stuff. So, but the tears, like, I was like, okay, well, now our planner's going to give you diabetes, right? Because of, they're all going to taste like tropical
That's
punch.
That's Wilford Brimley, not the Kool-Aid Man.
Diabetes. We need to have some oatmeal. But yeah, I mean, I thought that they were, the commercials were okay. They were okay. I did enjoy the can't touch this Cheetos stuff, but I thought like a couple years ago with the Doritos, like the Time Machine one, I thought that was pretty good. They had the Volkswagen with the Star Wars, you know, mm-hmm. with the kid doing the Force. I thought that one was pretty good. So I think there have been better years. It was weird.
I didn't really see a lot of like beer commercials like usual.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the NFL is trying to curb those. I'm not 100% sure on that. I mean, for God's sake, we can remember when there were cigarette commercials and ads,
True.
You know,
the Marlboro Man.
Yeah. Right. The Marlboro Man and all that stuff. And like in some of those old Broncos Super Bowls, you can see the big Winston logo in the background and stuff like that. I thought they were OK. I didn't think there was anyone. But yeah, you're right. I think it is completely stealing the baby Yoda bit, the baby nut,
it,
right?
It just kind of bugged me a little bit. It bugged me. I saw too many memes the next day saying, who would you rather? And anybody that picked baby nut needs to go find the nearest flight to the sun.
He would not be regrowing that tree in your backyard. No, I tell you Groot what.
Baby Groot's better than baby nut, and baby Yoda trumps them all.
Yeah, Baby Yoda is easily the best. There's no question there. And Baby Groot. Baby Groot was, I mean, Baby Groot is kind of the original of all of them.
True.
So,
true.
But look, we got to take a break here. Different format. We have four segments now for you, but we'll be back and we're going to talk about the halftime show in the next segment. That should be a lot of fun. Stick with us.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/DUNK to learn more.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm here with my friend, Casey Bubba. You can find him on the Twitter, @BDEntrick. Casey, plug all of the podcasts that you're doing, everything.
Tons of them. Bench with Bubba, Around the Base with Bubba and Mo, Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, much, much more. But go check out Bench with Bubba. That's my one and only fantasy baseball, at least twice a week. I'm actually about to ramp up to potentially three shows a week for you on that one. So go check all that out. Lots of good stuff going on over there. And my written content you can find over at rotoballer.com.
All kinds of stuff. You should check it all out. The halftime show, man. It was, I thought it was fantastic. It was
electric.
It was really, really good. And I'm not a halftime show person. I usually, you know, all right, this is the time, get up, take a leak, take a dump, whatever you got to do. But I think most of us were looking forward to this because, you know, J-Lo and Shakira are insanely hot. So most red-blooded American males are going to be excited about it. It did not disappoint. I thought that it was great. I don't know really what else to say about it. I mean, I didn't really care about the music that much. We've all heard all that stuff before. But J-Lo looked fantastic. Shakira looked fantastic. And I am so surprised that there are so many people acting like this was vulgar and disgusting.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'm 100%. There's so many things we just uncovered there. Shakira, haven't seen her in a while. She can still get it. That was amazing.
Yeah.
She was smoking. We talked about J-Lo last week, 50 years old and just banging still.
It's
ridiculous what she's got going on. So you look at all that, and it was awesome. It was good to see her playing music and stuff and doing that stuff. The one thing that I thought was funny is I had no idea who the two rappers were.
Did you see Ollie G was trending on Twitter afterwards? Because no one knew who they were.
Yeah, it kind of did resemble Ollie G. So it's funny that you mentioned that. because I heard that. I heard a man wearing a full body condom. That was a comparison someone gave me. I had no idea who these people were, but I didn't care because I saw these two beautiful women going crazy. I think it is hilarious. You mentioned people complaining about this afterwards. I love the memes that show like Adam Levine from last year with his shirt off, just dripping in sweat, and housewives around the world loved it. And now we have now they're complaining about two women shaking that thing. And you know what? if they really wanted to, they kept that pretty PG for the most part. I've been in Miami. And they have some very nice establishments that is way overdressed for. So they kept that pretty darn clean, especially for salsa dancing. You can watch Dancing with the Stars and they wear less clothes than that. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be too concerned about what was going on up there besides a little shake, shake, shake that thing.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I thought this was going to be one of the, you know, like right afterwards, I wasn't looking for it. And first of all, I have a Facebook. I never go on it. I may go on Facebook once or twice a year. So that is where I think you're going to find the majority of complaints, because that's what, you know, the older generation, that's their social media is Facebook. And I did see one. I thought it was going to be the people complaining about the people that are complaining that actually weren't complaining that much. You know what I mean? The like they're getting ahead of the bitching and moaning, and because I didn't see anything. And then yesterday I saw a long diatribe from, you know, do you follow NFL memes on So NFL memes, they have this I don't know if it's an agreement or if it's part of their stuff, but the Daily Snark, where they'll show like, oh, look at this crazy move some guy did, or look at this lady is complaining about this or whatever. So it was on that, and it was a guy from Facebook, an older guy, had to be into his 60s or 70s, and he wants to sue the NFL and Pepsi for pumping pornography into his home. That's what he said.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, This is
what's wrong with the world.
Right. It was not. First of all, he's like, I saw a lot of, I'm embarrassed to say it, crotch shots.
Oh, my God.
I was like, are you serious, dude? Like, this guy has explored, you know, like if you're looking at the internet as the ocean, right? He's in the part where you can still see light. Like, that's how far he's gone down the internet. I've gone down. Not all the way to Mariana's Trench, but I've like stood, I've stood on that edge of where Mariana's Trench is. Like you can't see anything, but
a
you
big
can
black hole.
You maybe be able to see your bubbles go up. You know, like I've been that far. I haven't been all the way down into where you can't see anything, but I've been much further than this guy has. Because if he thinks that's pornography, he has no idea. So
he sounds like the 80-year-old virgin. It's like a new sequel we're about to see pretty soon with Steve Carell. Crotchety old man, get off my lawn. He still lives with his mom, who's on oxygen right now.
Hey, he was saying, well, people tell me coach this, coach that. I'm like, who is calling you coach? Give me a break.
So he must, you know, coach kids on one day and then, you know, be a Boy Scout leader the next.
I guess.
Proud of me. That guy, he can get behind the people like Baby Yoda more than Baby Yoda.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, that was, now I will say that I haven't seen anyone else complaining about it. That is all I've seen. So
you've been lucky.
Okay, so you've seen more then.
Usually it gets retweeted because, like, again, we talked about this a lot. I'm on Twitter a lot.
Yes.
So it just gets somehow shows up on my timeline through a retweet or something. And I just laugh because most of it is comparing it to Adam Levine. And again, I didn't care that Adam Levine was walking around without a shirt because I don't look at it that way because I'm a normal human being. But apparently, because everyone loved it, all women loved it last year. Shocker. They have libidos, too. But yeah, like, if you didn't like this show, A, you know, even if you take the pure sex out of it, which was amazing. Like, my wife was
wondering. Why would you?
Like, my wife flat out said, you've never watched a full halftime show before. What is going on? But then I looked at her. I said, you know who I am. And she just kind of nodded.
I missed the original wardrobe malfunction. I didn't see it.
Well, I'm going to keep this as PG as possible for this show. But there was a moment where J-Lo patted the kid. Patted the kitty cat.
Yeah.
It was amazing. That might be the most risque part of it. The rest of it was just salsa dancing.
I think she was doing that because there was clear tape,
you
know, there so that she wouldn't give a actual real crotch shot.
Yeah. The NFL is not going to risk another wardrobe malfunction. And they knew going into this, these girls are going to be lightly dressed.
Scantily clad. Right.
Yes. So, if it was Derek Hough, not Huff, Derek Hough from Dancing with the Stars, and he's out there dancing with J-Lo, no one cares.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think you're 100%
right. It's so funny. It's so funny, and I can't wait to see how what we get for next year's Super Bowl. Do we get, you know, Taylor Swift with all her arms and legs covered, or do we get, you know, the Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block are back? Let's give the ladies something to think about. They're in their mid to late 30s. I have no idea, but I can't wait to see it.
This is what I want for the halftime show next year. I want all of the Karens and that coach from Facebook. I want them to organize the halftime show. That's what I really want. Like, okay, you think you can do better? Do better. Do something better.
The biggest takeaway, and regardless of what you think about it, what they did was represent Miami. And that's what they did. And it was perfect for it. They represented where the game was being played. And if you can't at least understand that of what they did, you're so far gone, it's not even worth helping you.
Yeah, man. I'm 100% with you. So it was I thought, you know, obviously, I didn't have a dog in the fight. I was hoping that the Niners would win for the Welsh's sake, you know, but they didn't. They blew another lead. So Kyle Shanahan kind of has to live all that stuff down. Getting back towards the actual real action here. I didn't think Mahomes was going to make it through the game.
He looked horrible, like really bad. Couldn't he? Everything was short. He wasn't making passes. I don't know if it was because he was all the hits he was taking, because he was getting beat up. Like, Bosa, I think, had 12 or 13 pressure/hits. They were all up in his business, and it looked really bad there for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember when the Rams beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and, you know, we've seen now all of the, you know, the background stuff, Dick Vermeil talking and all that, and he asked flat out, do we think that the quarterback is going to make it through the game? And that's kind of the vibe that I got in this game, specifically in the second half, because the second half, it seemed like the Niners defense was starting to break through. But the point that I thought the Chiefs are going to come back and win this, I remember specifically when it was, we come back from commercial and they say that Hill dropped the ball. He didn't catch the ball. It's 3rd and 15 now. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, all the Niners got to do is stop him here. You stop him here, you're going to run at least a minute and a half, 2 minutes off the clock. They're going to be down to 4 minutes or whatever it is. And this game is over. And on the very next play on 3rd and 15, the Chiefs got 30 yards. It was that 30-yard pass downhill to Tyreek Hill, and they had the first down, and then it was like two plays later, Kelce scored the touchdown, and that was when all of the momentum swung towards them. So
one play, 3rd and 15. You just make one stop. That's all it was.
Yeah, exactly. And they've been making stops all game, so it's not like, supreme effort or anything. It was we just got to get one more stop, and it didn't work. And that's why the Chiefs were there. And they were 5-0 now in the postseason while being down. We got to go to break, though. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the actual game itself. No more halftime show. No more J-Lo, unfortunately, for everyone. And then we're going to talk about that big Mookie trade in the last segment here. So stick with us. We'll be right back here. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
To light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
In This League.
I'm back!
We're back. It's segment three, hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. I'm here with KC Bubba. We are talking about the Super Bowl, the last NFL that we're going to get for a while. We got a lot of stuff coming up still. We've got, the Combine is going to be here pretty soon. The draft. Did you see they're going to be doing the draft at the Bellagio Fountain?
Yeah, I was really disappointed, though. When I first saw the clip, it looked like they're going to actually shake Goodell's hand in the middle of the fountain. But I guess they're going to pick him up on a boat and ride him around the fountain or something. I don't know all the details. It looked like it was going to be pretty cool because there's a good chance Goodell is going to get wet, but I'm not sure.
It looks so weird. I love the draft. It might be becoming too much of a thing.
You think?
I tell you what I specifically hate about the draft, and I love the draft. I love it, but I hate that they get like two or three sponsors for the draft. If I have to see Ned Yost in a Verizon commercial one more time, I'm going to blow my brains out. Like, I saw that commercial because I cover the draft for our stuff on Patreon. I do a live stream during it. I give live reactions. Our buddy Dusty has a picture of my dumb face when the Steelers took Terrell Edmonds in the draft, a third round safety in the first round, and how angry I was. Like, he's still got a still frame picture of that. And
it's okay, you still got your first round backfield. Don't worry about it. You're fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Devin Bush is fine. I like Devin Bush much better, and TJ Watt, much better picks, but he's still got my picture of Terrell Edmonds. But that damn commercial, that Ned Yost Verizon commercial, was the only commercial last year, and it drove me crazy because the draft is 3 days now. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
What's worse, the Ned Yost commercial or that first year of the MLB playoffs on TBS when we saw Frank Caliendo preview his TV show every second?
I like Frank Caliendo.
So do I, but all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that was bad. So, but I think the Ned Yost commercial was, no, I think it was just last year, but, I don't know. It's the Ned Yost commercial it's a decent commercial too, because it's him talking about how he fell and he shattered his hip.
He would
have died if his phone didn't work. So, but you know what? After seeing the commercial a bunch of times, I kind of wish he did. You know, I was just so sick of it.
Maybe he's the guy playing coach in that thing.
It's definitely not him. So, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm being facetious. I'm glad that Ned Yost made it, but that commercial just drives me damn crazy. But we're not talking about the draft. We're talking about the Super Bowl here. Okay, how about this? Patrick Mahomes, did he deserve the MVP? Because I thought it should have gone to Damian Williams.
It should have gone to Damian Williams, just like the year White should have got it instead of Brady. The quarterbacks always get the upper hand in this situation. So it should have been Damian Williams, though. He was a beast.
Yeah, I mean, 133 all-purpose yards, 21 touches, and 2 scores. So now I will say that I saw someone make the point, and I agree with this. So I'm a little more okay with Patrick Mahomes getting the Super Bowl MVP. But he said, look, I understand people wanted Damian Williams to win. It's probably the best game he had in his career, because not only are those numbers good, he was fantastic in pass blocking. Like, he picked up at least 4 or 5 blocks to where Patrick Mahomes would have gotten wiped out. So I thought he did a fantastic job. But the Chiefs don't win this game without Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I can't deny that. He made the pass on 3rd and 15. He was wiggling in and out of the defensive lineman all game. So, yeah, they don't win without Patrick Mahomes. Not going to doubt that. But they probably don't win without Damian Williams either.
Right, right. And, you know, it's funny because late in the fourth, I'm like, man, Chris Jones is playing in this game, but I haven't seen him do too much. And it's like that flipped the switch on him. I think he had 2 or 3 pass blocks in those last couple drives for the Niners, and
it felt like Jimmy G got a lot shorter towards the end because everything's getting knocked down at the line.
I mean, to be honest, you know, it's part of that. People don't take into account conditioning as much as they should. And that's why, oh, what a surprise. A fat lineman showed up at camp fat. Why am I so shocked? Well, OK, you don't have to be shocked, but you got to last 4 quarters. Yep. You got to last 4 quarters, and almost no one can. And that's why, I mean, there's clips of that, the Rams versus the Titans in the Super Bowl when, I don't know why I'm referencing this one so much. I think it's probably just one of the ones that was, I think that might've been the last one that was constantly on ESPN before we had the NFL Network, something like that. 1 yard short. Yeah, right, right. The 1 yard short. But I remember, I think it was, I don't think it was DeMarco Farr, but it was Kevin Carter and someone else coming off the field in the fourth quarter, and Vermeil's sitting there going, you want to come out of the game now with 30 seconds left? And these guys, they couldn't even respond because they were and that's why I said, it's got to be a great thing to be 24 for Patrick Mahomes. You forget how much more energy you had 10 years ago, kind of regardless of what age you are. You know what I mean?
I'm 100% with you there.
Unless you've lost 100 pounds or something 10 years ago, you had way more energy. It's just the way of the world. So, everyone was gassed and Chris Jones wasn't. So, and I think even Jimmy G was gassed. I mean, he had more passing attempts than we expected. He wound up with 31. So
he should have had about 21. Right. I just, as well as they ran the ball in the first half, I am just baffled of why he stopped running it in the second half. All those end arounds with Debo and stuff, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe you just think at some point, like, we can't keep running end arounds because nobody does, But I feel like, did you feel like Shanahan almost was more obligated to try to not lose this game, so he tried to go out and pass a little bit too much in those last two drives?
I could see that, because it's one thing, you also know, if you give these guys a chance, their offense is so dynamic, they can score so quick. 10 points isn't a lot, which it obviously wasn't in the end game here, but it's one of those, at the same time, the more you hold the ball, the less they're on the field. So it's just a weird, like, go with what got you there. That's what I didn't understand. Like, they're a good team. I know they can throw the ball. I'm not one of the guys that says Jimmy G can't throw it. I've never been that guy. But the way they did that game, at that point in the game, if they would have started out the game throwing, okay. But to wait till the second half, to wait till, like, late third quarter to start doing that, I just didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's one of those things where he knew what he did wrong in the last Super Bowl, but it was a different situation. You're up 28-3 at halftime. Yep. And then in the whole second half, you run the ball. You got to throw at some point. This was, you know, he should have kept running the ball and he went to passing because he didn't want it to happen the same way it happened before. But you got to realize these are two separate games and completely different teams. So he should have kept running the ball. It didn't work out. Jimmy G would, you know, he barely got to one Mississippi in the fourth quarter there late. I mean, it was just, and then I couldn't believe Pisa Pia. I don't know if you listened to that episode of the Black Book where it was just me and him on Monday, but he was like, I thought it was a bitch move for Shanahan to call those timeouts. And I was like, what are you talking about? If you're still mathematically alive and it's the Super Bowl, you take the timeout. It doesn't matter.
Well, first off, Pisa Pia saying bitch move, and he's a Patriots fan. I'd watch your tone there, buddy. they've had a few interesting decisions on that sideline as well. But I have, like you said, you play, it's the frickin' Super Bowl. If there's any chance, we've seen guys fumble snaps. Like, there's a million things that could happen. You have to take your chances. You can't, you know how, like, crucified he would have been if he would have ended the game with timeouts in his back pocket? Like, he already got crucified in the first half for not using timeouts and trying to score. It would have been brutal. Like, that, yeah, that one made me laugh a little bit. And I'm glad, I was worried you were going to take his side on that. And I'm glad you didn't, because I'm a guy that I get in trouble for, you know, making roster moves in fantasy leagues that don't cost any money if I'm not like the top three, because I still care about finishing in fourth type stuff. So I play things till the end because I'm competitive like that, but maybe Joe's not. Maybe he's soft. I don't know.
It's the Super Bowl, man. You gotta, you gotta, any shot that you can possibly take, you know, even if you think it's mathematically impossible, we've seen stranger things happen in sports. So, I mean, look, the Niners and their future, they're still in a prime great position for long-term success, right?
100%. That's my big thing. I kept trying to tell my Niners buddies that were like doom and gloom, and I get it. Like, I wouldn't know as a Dolphins fan. The last time they were in the Super Bowl was the year I was born, so I can't really tell you what that was like. But in 02 with the Giants lost, it was tough for a while. I get it. Like, losing a big championship is difficult, so you gotta let that go. But this team, that defense is so good. The offense is there. Get a few more weapons to go with Debo. You got Jimmy G for a while. Kittle's there. The pieces are in place. Shanahan is very smart. He might make some weird decisions when the game's on the line, but he's a very, very smart guy. You still have solid running that defense. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with for a few more years to come, no doubt about it.
Are you on Darrell Revis' side or Richard Sherman's side?
I'm on neither. They're
okay. That's the correct answer. It's a trick question. You still got it right.
They're both great in their own right. One basically runs a zone. One runs a man. It's two different defenses. So, like, they're both very good. If I had to pick one, I always want a Revis because they named it Revis Island for a reason. He was that good. But they're both great, great cornerbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I like, you know, Richard Sherman is a very, very smart dude, and people don't give him credit for that. He's unbelievably well spoken, and he went to Stanford. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing when he climbs into somebody's head. But he got torched in the Super Bowl, and
he wrote a check, but he couldn't cash.
And it wasn't until the fourth quarter, though, and that's part of it, and that's part of getting older. So, but that is going to put a bow on the Super Bowl for us. We're going to come back after the break, and I'm going to get Casey Bubba's opinion on this gigantic trade, because you've already heard us talk about it. We even did an emergency pod over it in this league. So stick with us. We'll be right back to talk Mookie trade with Casey Bubba.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends with the
in this league
in the dark.
Yeah.
can hear Endless Love. That's, you know what that means. It means it's the end. It's the last segment of In This League on the Sports Grid. I'm here with Casey Bubba, and we're going to talk about this Mookie Betts trade. Obviously, a gigantic, massive trade. Mookie Betts and David Price moving over to the Dodgers. The Twins get Kenta Maeda, and the Red Sox get Alex Verdugo and Bruzar Gratterall. I mean, there's a little bit of a holdup as we're recording this on the physical for Gratterall, but they're going to make it happen. So yeah. I'm not really worried about this, derailing anything. So your initial thoughts, Bubba?
The Dodgers, not a fan of the Dodgers. That's just going to put that real quickly. It's a great move for them. I don't fault them. When you become the bridesmaid and not the bride after so many years, you got to keep trying to better yourself. And Mookie Betts is a beast. You basically have an AL MVP. You have the reigning NL MVP. Your offense is loaded with a bunch of young, talented players. I think it's a phenomenal move for Betts. And then you look at David Price. It's one of those things, can he stay healthy? He hasn't thrown more than 107 innings in two of the last 3 years. 1 year he threw 176, but the other two, very murky seasons. If he can give you 150 to go with Kershaw and Buehler up top that rotation, that just like light years ahead for these guys overall. And then you can sprinkle in your Dustin Mays or your Uriases and these other, they signed Alex Wood. Dodgers were already probably the favorite in the National League, if not one of the top ones. They should be the favorite now for sure. And they have to be one of the favorites for the World Series. It kind of stinks. Like, it's a great trade for a lot of the players involved here, but it's almost like we might as well just get the Yankees-Dodgers set up for October. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. You know, I'm trying not to. I mean, this is just so one-uppy, isn't it, yep, on the Diamondbacks? Like, the Diamondbacks traded.
We're taking it personally?
Well, a little bit. I mean, look, if you can go get Mookie Betts, you go get Mookie Betts. It doesn't
really matter. You should be flattered they were intimidated that you got Starling Marte, that they had to get Mookie Betts.
Well, I think they just really also didn't want the Padres to get him. You know what I mean? Because
yeah, I agree with that.
The Padres are, I don't know that they're there yet, but they ain't far
close.
Off. Yeah.
They're very close.
They're going to be there sooner rather than later, and they're going to have a good squad. They've been building for a long time to mm-hmm. this, so they're going to be able to get it done. So I think it was a combo. We can keep Mookie Betts away from San Diego, and we can counteract this Diamondbacks trade that just happened. So I understand that. What do you think? That there are some people that think Mookie takes a little bit of a dip because he's going up against new pitchers and all that stuff, and vice versa for David Price, because he gets to face new hitters. They're not going to have him, figured out yet. So what do you think in terms of fantasy for those guys?
I'm glad you asked that, Bogman, because I just wrote an article at RotoBaller talking about the fantasy baseball implications of Mookie Betts and David Price going to the Dodgers. And okay, you could say that the new pitchers might affect Betts, but I believe that for certain hitters, when you're a caliber hitter as Mookie Betts, I don't get too worried about that. And the ballpark in L.A. is actually it's better for him for overall power than Boston was. A lot of his balls he hits to center field in Boston turned into doubles. A lot of line drives off the monster. There will be home runs. He could hit you another 5-plus home runs. But otherwise, it's almost a neutral move for Mookie Betts for me. I think you have a little more power. Still a great player. Price. This could be huge. Again, health is the ultimate concern here with David Price, but he gets away from the AL East. He gets away from Camden Yards, Yankee Stadium, Rogers Center, all hitter ballparks. He gets to go to Oracle, Petco, Humidor, Chase Field. Sure, he gets Coors maybe once or twice, but he gets some knockdown ballparks, which are huge. Dodger Stadium as well. Last year, he gave up 10 of his 15 home runs to the AL East. Year before that, 18 of his 25 home runs to the AL East. The Yankees had most of those. Getting to leave that division, coming to the National League without the DH, big move for David Price. I like that one a lot, but the health is the concern. So when you're drafting, I want to move him up. He's going like the 81st pitcher overall in the NFBCs right now. I'd love to move him up, and I'm okay with moving him up. There's still a lot of risk involved there with the injury. But Betts, he's still going to be a top five player regardless. A little bit of benefit there. But David Price is a big winner if he stays healthy.
And I don't even think either one of those guys are the biggest winner. Now, I hate his stupid guts. And you heard me talking about it on the Black Book and on the Emergency Pod. I do not like Alex Verdugo as a, you know, well, I mean, I don't really know him as a person, but as from what I've seen on television, I am not a fan of Alex Verdugo at all. All I see him doing is talking a bunch of smack as a bench player. He ain't going to be a bench player anymore, though. He is going to be hitting leadoff in Boston, which is a fantastic spot to be in. And, I mean, he should score a ton of runs. I think this is a great move for him, and it has to move him way up.
Yeah, it's huge. I moved him into my top 50 or maybe even my top 40 outfielders now. I have him right in front of Benintendi because I'm not 100% sold on Benintendi, especially if he's hitting fifth or sixth in that lineup, like Roster Resource says. But you got to remember Verdugo sliding into that leadoff spot. Last year, Mookie Betts scored 135 runs. Betts has scored over 100 runs in that leadoff spot for four straight years, I believe it was. He is absolutely in a great spot to thrive. He's a good batting average asset. You know, 20 plus home run upside, might run into 8 to 10 stolen bases. You hit in front of Devers and Bogarts and JD. This is a huge move because, like you said, he was a bench player in LA, not because he wasn't talented. It's because Dave Roberts and LA have such a deep roster. They're always moving guys around. Big move for Verdugo. Moves him up quite a bit. You're going to have to pay a steeper price for him. So it might not be as worthwhile to you, but very good upgrade for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he obviously gets the most, but there are other fallout pieces to this deal as well. In Minnesota, getting Kenta Maeda. What did you think of them getting Maeda?
Huge. Absolutely huge. They needed another starting pitcher. They have Berrios. They have Odorizzi, but Pineda is going to be suspended for a while still. Bailey's not the answer. Maeda's a great pitcher. Like, he really is. People, I don't think, appreciate how good he is because the Dodgers shut him down at the end of every year so he can't get his innings to make more money. Like, the Dodgers, the team with all the money in the world, they go home and dive into their gold pool, but they won't give Kenta Maeda a few more million dollars. The Twins don't care. They're going to use him because they need him. I think it's a great move for him, a great move for the Twins, and he gets to face the Royals and the Tigers and some of these teams. It boosts him up in fantasy a bit for me, too.
Yeah, I mean, I really like that deal. And then the corresponding move where the Dodgers end up trading Jock Peterson to the Angels. Now, this had so many moving parts here because, I mean, look, Jock now everyday player, even though, well, I mean, Roster Resource has him as a platoon because he's terrible against lefties. So maybe, but he's still going to play 130 games because most starting pitchers are righties. You're not going to face lefties, you know, maybe once a week, twice a week. So he's still going to have a ton of starts. And he's going to hit at the top of the lineup. Is this a lateral move? Is this a better move for him? Where does he go, in your opinion?
It's an upgrade for him for sure, because in L.A., he's another one of those guys that would have platooned a lot, maybe not like defensive replacements and a lot of things like that with good old Jock jams. Now going to Anaheim, outfield, first base, DH. He can help when Pujols needs a day off, when Ohtani takes a day off. He can play the outfield. So many things there. I don't think he'll be platooned as much because the only other right-handed outfield bats on the bench are Hermosillo and maybe David Fletcher. Like, it depends on how you want to look at that.
Right.
So Jock should get a chance. And one of my biggest bugaboos is when they say young players can't hit lefties. Well, they can't if you don't let them. So
very true.
I like to see how that goes. You got Mike Trout behind him. It's not like they're going to pitch around Jock Peterson to get to Mike Trout. I'm pretty sure some lefties might groove some fastballs to Jock jams there to not walk him to get to Trout. I think he's in for a nice, nice season. Like you said, 130, 140 games where he's getting drafted right now. Much better. Like he was like almost do not draft for me on the Dodgers. Much more inclined to give him a look in certain leagues on the Angels.
And now you can actually root for him too.
Yes. So. Yes. When I tweet out Jock jams, when he double dongs every time, I can actually be excited about it.
And, you know, we didn't know this originally in the deal because once again, so many moving pieces, but, looks like Ross Stripling is going to wind up in LA too, with the Angels going from the Dodgers. And, I saw someone on MLB, Network say that they were kind of surprised that the Dodgers and Angels could work out a deal because, you know, in the same city sometimes, you know, like you don't see the Yankees and Mets trading too much.
No,
so,
not very much.
But they're West Coast, way more relaxed, of course. So
it's legal out here, guys.
It's all legal. So very, very, very happy. But what about Stripling? Because I like. I'm tempering my expectations a little bit just because he hasn't been able to go over 170 innings. So,
well, it's not that he can't go over. He hasn't had a chance to go over. We've seen him go well. I'd still think 140, 150 this year, which in this era of baseball, 150 is very good. So, like, we shouldn't discount that. I moved him just inside my top 60 of my updated rankings I put out a couple days ago. I think he's very, very good. That slider is filthy. And one thing we're going to see with the Angels, why Stripling should be – you should like him a little more, especially when Otani's healthy enough to pitch. It will be a six-man rotation, so you don't have to worry about a lot of those double dips and, you know, innings wrapping up quickly. He's going to go, like, once a week, and that'll stretch him out for longer in the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, I hope you're right. So
so do I. I love Stripling. He's very, very talented.
He is. He is. And I'm glad to see, you know, I want to root for him, but he's a Dodger. So now I can root for him again.
This was a big fantasy trade. Like these helped fantasy teams almost more than real life teams. It was huge.
They really did. It was the complete opposite of the NBA trade deadline. I'll tell you that much. But that is going to wrap it up for us this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we are going to be back. We're going to be full baseball next week. Football is over. We might talk the XFL if it's interesting this weekend. I doubt that it will be, but we can always hold out a little bit of hope, but we'll have to watch and see. So we will see you guys next week. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at BD Entrick, at Is It The Welsh. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you later.